Thank you for downloading or podcasting this track. This recording has been remastered to provide the best sound possible given the audio environment of the original recording session. Mosaic Silver Spring is a faith community located just inside the Capitol Beltway in Montgomery County. For more information, please visit our website, www.mosaicsilverspring.org, and we'll see you in the neighborhood.
Good morning, church. My name is Tim. And today I'll be reading from Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, I ask that you would open us to your spirit and to your teaching. I ask that you would speak through Joel, use him to teach us about you, and work your spirit in us to make us more like you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Tim, for reading this morning. Happy New Year to each of you. My name is Joel St. Clair, and I am one of the pastors here at Mosaic Silver Spring. And as we open up this new year, it typically functions as a time of reflection. As we come to the end of 2020, you will oftentimes see the best of lists, best of music. Spotify sends you an email. Here was your soundtrack for your year. There's all sorts of lists, whether in sports or in fashion or in politics, that give you a sense of review. And the Washington Post typically puts together this list of what is ahead, what is in as we move into 2021. And so at the flip of the new year, there's always this sense of navigating the nostalgia of what's old together with looking forward, maybe with some fear, maybe with some hope, maybe with wonder of what the next year will hold ahead. And as part of those types of reviews, there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal last month at the end of December by Johan Norberg. And in it, he was exploring the power of nostalgia. Why is it that Saved by the Bell is making a comeback? Like, who comes up with this? And it's in part because of the nostalgic hold that 90s sitcom had on people of a certain age. But it's not just a new phenomenon. It's not just something that's happening in 2020, 2021. In the article in the Wall Street Journal, Norbeck highlights a castle that is a medieval castle smack in the middle of England. And as he describes it, there's one tower that remains standing, but then the rest of the parts are crumbling. And they included a large picture of it online. And I was kind of glancing at the picture thinking, huh, when did this castle exist? But as you read through the article, what is unveiled to you is that that castle wasn't used to stave off the Vikings in some big war. And it wasn't used during the medieval periods as a safe place to bring about stability to the countryside, but rather it was built hundreds of years later as a replica. So it was built in this fallen state intentionally. And it's known as a folly castle and is designed merely for nostalgia and to tell stories and to become a talking point and as part of the broader landscape. It seems that that it is not a new phenomenon for people to look back and long for older days, different days, and maybe in their minds, better days. And what I find fascinating is oftentimes when you talk to the generation before you and say, hey, did you have it that great? I mean, was it just amazing back then? Often the answer is no. Not just maybe from your own family, but from historians who look at any distinct time period throughout history, and they'll quickly flag for you that every period has its problems. Every period has its struggles. Whether it is 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or more. And so why do we long to go back? What is this powerful sense of looking backward or longing for better days or nostalgia? How does it sink so deeply with us? And in that Wall Street Journal piece, Johan Norberg, he theorizes that one possible solution is that when we look backwards, and we consider the problems that they may have had in previous days, we find some sense of comfort or security that society survived that. So when you compare our current problems, our current struggles, some of the intractable things that we face that are incredibly complex, and we wonder, how are we ever going to come up with a solution for that? It makes it so much easier to look back at the time periods that had problems, yes, but problems that were able to be solved, or problems that society survived, or problems that people could work through to bring us to this day. And so that looking back gives us a powerful sense in the midst of our own anxiety about the things that face us today, that maybe back then there was a better time. And let's focus on that so we don't have to look ahead. It's into that tension that Psalm 98 becomes a song calling to you this morning to sing praises to God. Psalm 98, it looks back at what God has done, but it also looks at now what God is doing, and it looks forward. It becomes an all-encompassing reason that we can face today and be confident and even hopeful about tomorrow. And it's reasons not rooted in our own ability, our own savviness, our own societal or technological advancement. The psalmist will remind us that our hope is found in God and in God alone. He breaks out this answer, the psalmist does, in three parts, and we're going to look at that this morning. And it's really the sets of three verses. So verses 1 through 3, verses 4 through 6, and verses 7 through 9. And so in verses 1 through 3, the psalm, it opens with this call. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. It is a call to worship. What we just did a little bit earlier that Dan led us through, this invitation or call to worship, a reminder of, hey, we're here to sing and pray and hear from God's word together. That's what the psalmist does in verse 1. He is calling out to all of us saying, sing to the Lord a new song. And he begins to unpack why we can sing. It is because the Lord has done marvelous things. God, the creator of the world, is not merely creator and then steps back, but he is our redeemer. He has entered in. The psalmist uses this language that he has done marvelous things, this victorious battlefield language, how God has shown up in difficult times. His right hand, his holy arm have worked salvation for him. God didn't just create the world and hoped that things worked out okay. God created the world, and when things went wrong, he himself entered in. And so the psalmist says we should sing to the Lord and praise him for his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness. And note in verse 3, we get a sense of why. Why has God actively entered in? It's because of his covenant love. His steadfast and faithful love for his people. God, in verse 3, has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. And so you get a sense in verses 1 through 3 that God has actively intervened because of his own love for his people, and that that's a reason to give praise. And if you just stop there, it may just sound like another nostalgia piece. Look back at those days of Exodus. Look back at the days when God intervened or sent a prophet or showed up and delivered his people. Look back at how he responded to our prayers when we were in exile. But there's more, the psalmist says. He continues on. The psalm doesn't stop at verse 3. It moves forward and expands this call to worship. So in verse 1, there's a sense that it's a call to worship for the people who are gathered, to you and I today, to any time the people of God are gathered together. But in verse 4, it's expanded. There is a flip from 3 to 4. Moreover, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. There's an expansion. The symphony is about to get bigger. The members of the chorus are about to grow. The volume is going to get turned up to 11. So says the psalmist in verse 4, because he calls to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in your joyous song and sing praises. There is a call that goes out. And similar to how there's the reason why in verse 3, in verse 6, we are reminded of how the trumpets come together, how the band gathers and grows, and it is because we can make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. God reigns today, so says the psalmist. In present tense, God is on his throne. I want to pause just here for a minute because I recognize that oftentimes that's an open question. If God is on the throne, why do we struggle? If God is on the throne, why collectively does evil not only exist, but sometimes seem to thrive? The psalmist in the 150 Psalms and the story of Scripture never tries to minimize suffering or struggle. It doesn't try to get you to look over here and distract you like a laser with a cat that can just be easily distracted. Oh, shine a little light over there. Oh, okay, I won't look at those things anymore. That's not what the psalmist is trying to do. The psalmist doesn't distract away from the realities of struggle, but the psalmist does reorient not just you and I, but the world to the claims that God is on the throne. And so as the people of God each day, whether times are good or times are rough, we are called to praise him. And that is a step of faith, particularly when we struggle or we face hardship. Why would we praise him? The psalmist is laboring to reorient us, to say, God just hasn't done good things in the past. He is king here now. And that's helpful as we move into a new year just off the backside of Christmas, because we can think, oh, okay, we celebrated that Christmas thing where God and his active arm, he entered into the world, the incarnate son arrived, and we celebrated that thing that happened. But now we got to deal with 2021. The psalmist's answer in verse 6 is to continue to praise and call others to praise because God is king today. King Jesus reigns. And then he keeps going. He doesn't just look back. He doesn't just look at today. He looks forward. And so in verse 7, the call to praise expands even more. It went from the gathered people in worship to all the earth, all the nations, all the people in the world, and here expands to creation itself. Notice that flip of who's doing the worshiping in verses 7 and 8. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, that the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. It's a call not just for all people everywhere, but for creation itself to worship. And similar to the patterns that we've seen in 1 through 3, where we get a sense of why in verse 3. And then in verses 4 through 6, we get a sense of why here in 7 through 9, after the call to worship for all of creation to join in, for the rivers to clap their hands, to play a part in their chorus of praise, we get the why. It is because he comes, God comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. It is a look forward to the future. It is a look forward to what hasn't happened yet, but will come. So just as God's steadfast, faithful covenant love for his people drives our praise in verse 3, just as the reality of God's power as he sits on his throne as creator and redeemer in verse 6, so too in verse 9, we look forward to God's return in judgment to judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. In the 1800s, oftentimes when the church people would gather together, the hymn books, it was basically the Psalms itself. They looked backward, or they sung the songs that were sung in days of old. And Isaac Watts wanted a little bit more, wanted a little bit more creativity. He had read the New Testament. And so when he would sing the Psalms, he wanted to understand them better in light of what God had done and in light of what was yet to come. And so Isaac Watts began to write new songs at the challenge possibly of his family or friends, who said, "Isaac, if you don't like the music of today, write the music for tomorrow." And so he began to write poems and lyrics. The songs became one of the most prolific songwriters of his day. And I don't know, at least it's not clear that he set out to write one of the greatest Christmas hymns ever, but Psalm 98 became the inspiration of the lyrics to Joy to the World. It was Psalm 98 that sunk deeply into Isaac Watts as he put pen to paper to craft this call of what God is doing, not merely in the past, not just in his incarnation, but that he continues today and into the future. And so when Isaac Watts put pen to paper in 1719 and produced Joy to the World, it was his way of continuing to participate in the chorus of praise of what God is doing in the 18th century in light of all that had happened. And it is a part of the chorus that Mosaic Silver Spring continues to sing and be a part of today. So just as Isaac Watts put pen to paper and thought through, here is what God has done in the past, here is the reality that he is reigning in the present, and here is how we look forward to God's righteous and equitable judgment in the future. This is how we take day over day. This is how we meet the anxieties and challenges of our own moment. This is how we prevent nostalgia from overwhelming our hearts and keeping us lost in some past or distant time. It is a call to faith and a call to praise, not just for what God has done in the past, although that's part of it, in his covenant love. Not just because we believe that God is present here and now through the resurrected Jesus reigning over his creation. That's true, but there's more. It's because we as a people look forward, no matter what 2021 holds, we look forward to Jesus's return, where he will bring about the judgment of the world in righteousness and with equity, not just for us to see, but for the whole world to see. And so we continue that call to worship today, not just with us, but with our neighbors and for the watching world, and not just for our neighbors, but for all of creation itself. we can sing praise because what God has done yesterday, because what God is doing today, because what God will do tomorrow. That is how we move into 2021, living lives of faith. Let me pray. Our God in heaven, I ask that you will give us ears to hear this call to praise. That whether we find ourselves in the midst of challenges or whether we find ourselves doing surprisingly well, that we will have our eyes opened to what you are doing in the world, God, so that we have ears to hear this call to praise. We have eyes to see your present and active work in our world, and that we join in with words of praise. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.